reading and sermon by Pastor Daniel Krieger and guest preachers of the Word. Learn more about Zion Lutheran Church, the Christian faith, subscribing to this program, and joining us in person next Sunday for the entire Divine Worship by visiting zionhiawatha.org. Now God's Word.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our first scripture reading is found in your Bibles in the book of Acts. It's on page 1171. We read Acts chapter 6 and chapter 7, selected verses. Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews, because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And what they said pleased the whole gathering. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. They set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. And a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of grace and power, was doing great wonders and signs among the people. Then some of those who belonged to the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, and of the Cyrenians, and of the Alexandrians, and of those from Cilicia and Asia, rose up and disputed with Stephen. Continuing at chapter 7, verse 2. And Stephen said, "Brothers and fathers, hear me." And at verse 51, "You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did not your fathers persecute? And they killed those who announced beforehand the coming of the righteous one, whom you have now betrayed and murdered. You who received the law as delivered by angels and did not keep it." Now when they heard these things, they were enraged, and they ground their teeth at him. But he, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." But they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and rushed together at him. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our second reading is from 1 Peter. It's found on page 1302. We read 1 Peter 2, verses 2 through 10. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up to salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, "Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious. And whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. So the honor is for you who believe. But for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellence of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise out of respect for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel is found in the Gospel according to St. John, found on page 1153, and we read John 14, beginning at verse 1. Jesus is speaking, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, and the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe in me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Or else, believe on the account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name,
I will do it. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you. From God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. My text is based on your gospel lesson for today and those words of Jesus that began the last hymn we sang. Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." This is our text. Well, it's Mother's Day weekend. A lot of you were out doing things like landscaping yesterday and are paying for it this morning. So also with myself, I was out doing a lot of digging around. And one of the things I've learned through the years is that there are better ways of doing things than others. For instance, if you come to my house and look around, you'll see landscaping brick almost encircling the whole house. I put it there. And in the process, sometimes during hot summer days, I learned there were ways to get things done right. I'm a bit of a perfectionist. And ways that just don't work. I like my stones straight. And I tried that business of putting down a string and kind of lining them up with that. Kept tripping over it. That doesn't work. Finally came up with a system, but it takes a little more effort. You have to cut out. And sometimes, you know, that soil is dry and it's baked and it's really hard to get out. But you cut about 2-3 more inches of ground out behind where you're going to put the brick. And then you take a nice straight board. And those bricks are straight in the back. And you put that board behind it and you kick it. And the bricks all line up. I don't know, it took me probably 150 bricks to finally figure that out. And so when one of my sons bought a house and was doing landscaping themselves and I trying to help out, tried to advise them on this technique. And I passed on to my children a little bit of perfectionism within my genes. They wanted their bricks straight, but as they were working, it just wasn't working out. They tried that string business. And another thing about laying bricks, you know, if they aren't just lined up perfectly, you got to keep bending down to move them. That gets old after a while. But cutting out that extra 2-3 inches in that hard-baked soil, that's a lot of work too. And as the day wore on and the bricks just weren't lining up, he got more frustrated and more frustrated. Until finally he tried my technique. And it worked. There was a better way. You know, we live in a world today where when it comes to ethics, morals, just about every aspect of human life, people think that just any way they choose is going to work. But to that world, Jesus speaks, "I am the way and the truth and the life. And when you really take a close look, comparing his ways with the world's ways, what you find is that he's right. I won't bore you with a lot of statistics this morning, but suffice it to say, when you look at families, those that are doing their best to follow the biblical model laid down in Scripture, and compare them with families that have abandoned that model, what you find is that the further you get away from the biblical model, families do worse. Children do worse. And not by, if you will, statistically insignificant little amounts, but in dramatic fashion. And that's not just true with the biblical model of family. When you examine that everything God says to us in His law, when you look at people who are applying that to their lives versus people that aren't, Jesus is right. He is the way. What He spoke to us is true. And if you want the blessings that Scripture talks about for life, His ways lead us there. And the world's ways never do. But He's not just the way and the truth and the life when it comes to, if you will, the law of God. He's the way and the truth and the life when it comes to the gospel, when it comes to how we are forgiven, and how we are saved. And I've seen this so many times during the course of my years of ministry. You know what one of the saddest things to see is? It's an individual, often a child, but sometimes a brother, a sister, or even a spouse. Sometimes even a parent. But they're at the funeral of a Christian. But they are absolutely unconsolable. I've run into that several times throughout my ministry. And what I have found is going on usually is guilt. That, in the case of children often, they've been rebellious, mean. They've chosen their own ways, and despite a parent or someone else in their life reaching out with love and with forgiveness, they've rejected it and said horrible things. But you know, the law of God always does strike a nerve in the hearts of people. At creation itself, God embedded His word into our hearts. And even though we may reject it, despise it, do everything we can to escape it, it still speaks. And then this person in somebody's life dies, and a chance to be reconciled, a chance to be forgiven, if you will, a last chance to say, I'm sorry, is gone forever. At least so it seems to that person
Just a suggestion. If you go to a funeral of a Christian and you find some relative absolutely unconsolable, that's probably what's going on. How do you make up for that? How do you take that kind of guilt away when there's no more earthly chance to make up for it? Maybe you have a little bit of that in your own life as well. Someone you've hurt along the way, but for whatever reason, that relationship is now just gone. You know you were wrong. You know you did horrible things. But there's no making up for it. That chance is just gone. What do you do? One of the things that I've done in my ministry is ask such a person to picture their loved one next to Jesus. Jesus, with his hands pierced, and his feet and his side, arms wrapped around that person, welcoming them into heaven, knowing that those markings in his hands and his side were to pay for their own sins, because we are, after all sinners. None of us deserve to stand before God in heaven. So to picture that person next to Jesus, and then to ask that person, so what do you think they're thinking about you right now? That if they're talking with this Jesus who died for their sins, do you think they're saying like something like, you know, that so-and-so kid of mine, I hate them. I will never forgive them. Jesus, don't you agree with me? Don't you think that person is just so absolutely horrible? Do you think anybody with Jesus' arms wrapped around them would ever say such a thing? Nah. But if they did think about somebody that had wronged them, that had done horrible things to them, standing next to Jesus, I can tell you with absolute certainty, if they were thinking about that person, what they would think. They'd be like Stephen in our first lesson for today. Those rocks were smashing into him as he was being crushed and life was slipping away, yet at the same time he's beholding Jesus in his glory in heaven. What did he say? Lord, do not hold this sin against them. You know what? That works. And nothing else really does. Because we can't undo the past by ourselves. With all our acts of goodness and righteousness, they're never enough to pay for our own sins. It's that blood of Christ himself, the Son of God, the co-creator of the world, who took on our human flesh. That alone is what pays for sins. And that alone can cleanse a guilty heart when nothing else can. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the way, the truth, and the life with regard to the law and how we are to live our lives. Don't be fooled by the world when it says, oh, this way is okay or that way is okay. But he's also the way and the truth and the life. It is by his death and resurrection alone that guilty hearts are fully cleansed and that we are made fit to live in our Father's house. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.
This program is a production of Zion Lutheran Church, Hiawatha, Iowa. Copyright, all rights reserved. Unless otherwise indicated, the scripture reading used in this program is from the Holy Bible, English Standard Version, ESV. Copyright 2001. By Crossway, a publishing ministry of Good News Publishers. Used by permission, all rights reserved. Hymn 556, Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice, was provided by LutheranTimeOut.org. Learn more about the Christian faith and joining us next Sunday in person by visiting ZionHiawatha.org.